Welcome to the Sun Victory Podcast, presented by Wide Right Natty Light. I'm Sam Phillips here with Jacob England, headed into a telephone trophy weekend for the Wrestling Cyclones. Jacob, how you feeling?
Mixed feelings, but overall doing pretty well. How about yourself?
I'm doing good. I am super excited for this dual meet this weekend. Always a good one, and especially with it being David Carr's final match in Hilton Coliseum, and him getting to close it out with none other than a renewal of his rivalry with fellow national champion Keegan O'Toole. I think that is, you know, it's the story of the weekend in college wrestling, that those two are getting after it this weekend.
Yeah. I mean, that will be, you know, how you have at UFC, your first and main event, but then there's side events too that people don't even recognize or know. That's going to be just a wild dogfight. So it's going to be really entertaining, this duel, to see how our guys stack up to their guys. Of course, if all of them are wrestling or not, and you can go into more detail on that.
Yeah, that's the big question. A lot of wrenches in that plan. Just as of today, Iowa State Daily, I believe it was, broke news that Kyson Terracina was arrested for a probation violation. No other details on that. So he was on probation because of a couple of OWIs, one last year while he was hurt, one the other one, I believe, in his freshman season. So obviously there's some issues there. But, you know, I think one thing to remember is that the violation could be something pretty simple. And since there's no other charges listed, I would assume that it's not something that's, you know, an actual crime. It's just simply a violation of his probation. So either way, you got to have your head on this time of year, especially. It's like you're a starter on a D1 team that is viable for an NCAA trophy. I don't know. It's, it seems like there's obviously other things that aren't going right if that's a mistake that's happening.
Yeah, I mean, for me, especially in my wrestling seasons, if I ever, you know, could relate to it, I was on the straight and narrow path because I didn't want to be kicked off the team. I didn't want anything bad to happen necessarily. And, you know, this is a very unfortunate event. And, you know, to me, you've got to keep your head up. And you got to keep making sure that you're on the straight and narrow path. And hopefully it's nothing too serious for Kyson. I hope he can get back onto the mat as fast as possible. But unfortunate event coming out today's news anyways.
Yeah, definitely got to get his head on straight there. I have no idea. We'll hear from Dresser on Thursday in his media availability. I'm assuming that there will be plenty of questions about that. Yeah, I have no idea if, you know, I'd assume he's not wrestling in this dual meet. I'm assuming we're going to see Ethan Perryman there at 125. But, I don't know what it means for who Iowa State sends to Big 12s. The other thing on the release, it listed his weight as 140 pounds. So I sure hope they didn't have a scale there down at the station, because that'd be, something that's impossible, but not where you want your weight a couple days before big dual meet like this.
I'm sure we'll hear more from Dresser and what's going on there, but 140 pounds, holy buckets. I mean, I hope
I'm assuming that's something, you know, they just take whatever's on your license.
Oh, well, I'm just saying, like, I hope that's like an unofficial scale. You know how that is. And you're like, it's 10 pounds
shoes
over
on,
or something.
Jeans,
yeah.
Winter coat, maybe. Oh yeah, that's the least of his concerns though. So
yeah, no kidding.
In other news, this dual meet is gonna be incredible. Oh, I guess the other question: Missouri has question marks all throughout their lineup. Brian Smith said today, good news, sounds like Keegan O'Toole is a go. There's gonna be no ducking like Cornell did. There, Brian Smith, the Missouri coach, is all about this matchup. Talked about it extensively in his press conference today. But he did say that Missouri's dealing with some, I think he said it was the flu or some kind of bug going through the program right now. So he's not even sure who's going to get on the bus on Friday to go up to their dual meet in Cedar Falls against UNI. And, you know, if they don't get on that bus, they're probably not going to be there for the duel on Sunday against Iowa State. It's, you know, something to keep an eye on.
Yeah. I mean, that's super unfortunate because this would have been a knockout, drag out fight, like I've been saying, but it'd been really fun to see and to measure up and size up against a very successful program like Mizzou has been. So, you know, I hope, you know, the big matchups like at 157 and 174 and even at 285.
Heavyweight.
You know, all those matches that can really show, hey, are we where we at, or are we needing to work on some other stuff before this big, you know, March Madness that we call for wrestling?
Yeah, absolutely. So with our preview, Jacob, I'm thinking Iowa State's probably going to end this dual meet at 165, Iowa State, Missouri. If they have the chance, you know, really make David Carr's match up with, you know, Tool the marquee match to finish the evening off there. So let's start our preview at 174. MJ Gaitan on a hot streak here, taking on Peyton Mako, who was an All-American last season, Big 12 finalist, actually beat David Carr in their redshirt year. But he just, you know, he's coming in ranked number 10, number 11. He just hasn't looked that great this season.
Yeah. But if I know anything about Peyton Mako, you remember last year, man, he made a storm in the big tournament, you know?
Yeah.
And I won't count him out, just like I won't count anybody else out that's having maybe a down year. It doesn't matter until you get into the actual tournament, you make it into the tournament. So Peyton's dangerous. He's extremely dangerous. But MJ is on a hot streak, and I don't know. I know that they're favored in that, but I wouldn't put my money on Peyton at this moment.
Yeah. I mean, he's got, you know, a couple tough matches Friday, Sunday, which is the, you know, the story for all these Missouri guys, but Peyton Mako, if he gets beat by MJ Gaitan, MJ Gaitan's going to snag that 2 seed there at 174 for the Big 12 tournament, which would be fantastic news for him. And Peyton Mako just hasn't seen a lot of the good Big 12 starters so far this season because he was out with injury for a little bit. You know, he's a 5th or 6th year guy, been around the program forever. Really good scrambler, but MJ Gaitan is not afraid to roll around on the mat. So I think that's going to be if they start with that, that's going to be starting off with some fantastic action there at 174.
I would say MJ is a fantastic scrambler as well. And if you remember that last duel, holy crap, I didn't even know what was going to happen at that moment. You know, his matches have been like very, very, how can I say this? Uncertainty at some moments and then certainty at the moments afterwards.
Yep. Yeah. He knows how to make you hold your breath and pucker up. It's gonna be a really fun time anytime MJ Gaitan's on the mat. 184. I think Will Feldkamp's gonna be back this week, and he's got a tough task up for him in Clayton Whiting, redshirt freshman for Missouri, but a redshirt freshman that has found his way into the top 12 of the Flow Wrestling rankings and really been consistent in a deep Big 12 weight class.
Yeah, absolutely. I hope that Feldkamp is ready to go. Be nice to knock off a little bit of the rust since he's been out for in the last 2 or 3 duels now.
Yeah.
So it'd be good to get him back on the mat before Big 12s and the NCAA. So
yeah, that's a great point, Jacob. You want to see him get tested in a matchup like this, you know, or any match at all, really. Get back into that real, you know, it's something you can't simulate in the room. And it would be his last match in Hilton Coliseum as well. So, you know, he was only here for 1 year, but I'm sure he wants to soak in that atmosphere one more time.
Absolutely.
197, Julian Broderson has a tall task ahead of him with Rocky Elam coming in. Rocky Elam, of course, has had numerous battles with younger bests. You know, really had his number lately. And was the Big 12 champion last year in that 197-pound weight class. 3-time All-American, has had age group world-level success. Just really the full package there at 197 for Missouri. And I don't know what the game plan would be there for Julian Broderson.
Don't get tacked. Don't get pinned. That's what I would say. Like, you know that your task is tall, but don't be stupid. That's what I would say to Broderson. Say this is a big duel that we need, and we need you to be a team player at this moment.
Yeah, and I think that's reasonable. I mean, Julian Broderson in this dual meet last year held Peyton Mako to a 7-5 win. He can slow matches down, and Rocky Elam doesn't always put up a lot of points. He can be slowed down. I think he's been hurt a little bit this year, hasn't had all that much time on the mat. So it's certainly a doable task for Julian Broderson if Iowa State just needs him to not give up bonus points.
Yep, that's the biggest thing that I would be telling him if I was Dresser. Just be smart. You know that these positions are going to put you in bad situations. I imagine if it's his choice, he's going to choose neutral because Rocky's an excellent top wrestler. Mm-hmm. So you're going to want Julian to not be on bottom as much as possible, because even younger had, even though he wasn't the greatest bottom wrestler, he had a ton of trouble with Rocky, a ton of trouble.
Yeah, absolutely. 285. And this is, I can't, you know, it's kind of sad that this match is getting overshadowed, but when you have some of the best pound for pound wrestlers in the country also going in the dual meet, that's just going to happen. But younger Bastida finds himself in a top five matchup of undefeated heavyweights going against Zach Elam, who was an All-American last season. You know, I like younger Bastida in this matchup. He's beaten more high quality guys and beaten them more impressively than Zach Elam has shown this season. And then you factor in that Iowa State kind of cracked the code on Zach Elam last year with Sam Schuyler. Sam Schuyler was 0-2 before last season, and then, or 0-3 against Zach Elam before last season, and then won both of their matchups last year.
Yeah, Zach is a big boy. He's a monster. But I think one thing that Younger has over Zach is, and Zach, don't get me wrong, he's a bulldog. He's strong, but Younger is a different animal.
Yeah, I just don't think Zach Elam can go with Younger Bastida on his feet.
I don't think there's going to be a lot of people that can go against Younger on his feet. And even if Younger's on the bottom, I don't know if Zach can do enough to get Younger on, you know, for bonus points or even stopping him. I know that he's tough, but I don't know if he's going to be able to stop what Bastida has for attacks.
Yeah, completely agree there. 125, probably going to be Ethan Perryman taking on top 10 Noah Certain. Noah Certain had a big pin in the first period last year over Perryman in that dual meet down there at the Hearn Center in Columbia, Missouri. I'm hoping that Ethan Perryman can slow down Certain, which not many guys can do. He put up 14 points on a top 15 ranked Tanner Jordan last weekend. Noah Certain was good last year. He's even better this year. But man, you gotta recognize the task at hand and just focus on winning one position at a time.
Yeah, I'd be really interested how Perryman has grown from last year to this year. We haven't seen much of him, and he's put Kyson Terakina, his position at risk at the beginning of the year. So that tells me that he's not a pud. So
here's a question for you, Jacob. If Perryman pulls the upset here, do you let him start at Big 12s?
Well, let's do this, Sam. Let's weigh in the factors right now. Kyson probably has a seat
he would be seated. Yep. Yeah. I think.
I believe he would be seated. He'd be a lower seat, but he'd be seated. Yep. And he probably has an allocation for him.
Allocation, yep.
So when you throw Perryman in, you're subtracting an allocation from there, if I'm right.
Correct.
And you're also causing a little bit of riffraff when it comes to the lineup itself. But, and this is the big but, this whole ordeal, and this is only a few days before the Missouri duel, to get something like this, probation, you know, or whatever, get in trouble. Yeah. You get in trouble and you're this close to the NCAA championships. If I was Dresser and Perryman does be certain, I would say this: we're having a wrestle off again. And because, you know, I think that everybody earns a spot when they earn their coach's trust. And I believe that Tarakina has lost trust before the Big 12 tournament. So why not act like that spot is now for grabs again?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a good point. Good points all around there. You know, if you're taking a huge risk based on one performance with, you know, the Heat, instead of being in what I think is going to be the top nine, will go to NCAAs. He'd have to be in the top eight in a super, super deep weight class in the Big 12. That's going to be, not an easy task to qualify there if you take, no matter what, but especially if you take away an allocation spot. So I would lean towards no, but I like the idea of, you know, letting them decide it then.
I think that actually puts a little fire underneath Tarakina too. I mean, if you really think about it, he went and did this, and now you're saying, okay, well, your spot is up for grabs, so you're not guaranteed that spot anymore. What would that do? And let me ask you this, Sam: what would you do if you did something wrong, and then the coach says, okay, this is up for grabs again? I mean, there's two ways that I would think this will go.
Yep.
But what would you do if you were in that situation, in Tarakina's situation?
Well, what you'd want to see is a good response and, you know, taking it as a challenge. And that's what someone who's going to be on the podium, how they would respond.
Yeah. And that's what I'm trying to, you know, put across. And I think Dresser would be the same way, but maybe Dresser's like, I just don't want to mess with this. Let's just get to the end of the year.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm real interested in how that media availability is going to go. 133, Evan Frost going to be the favorite. I would really like to see him wrestle up against Cade Moore, who's been a surprise on the scene for Missouri at this weight class this season. But he, a couple of weeks ago, got into an altercation. The details are, kind of all over the place. Not sure what the reliable details are, but basically, he ended up with some lacerations from it, and sounds like he is back on the mat now, just focused on getting ready for Big 12. So we'll have to wait to see that matchup. But in the meantime, I'm guessing Missouri will send out either Eric Lovelace or Drew Stanfield, both younger guys on the roster who haven't had a lot of varsity experience. And I mean, we saw what Evan Frost did to a top 20 guy last time out, Tech Fall, guys got in on his legs a couple times, but he still racked up points in a hurry.
Yeah, that would have been nice to see, but yeah, this will be actually nice for the points wise for Iowa State. If Evan can either get a tech or even a major decision, that will really kind of start putting things away a little bit, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. 141 should be a tight matchup. Anthony Etchemendia taking on Josh Edmond, who's only ranked number 24, but I think that's pretty misleading. Edmond wrestles close matches, and he's got a lot of his losses are close losses to really good guys. He lost in tiebreakers to Jordan Titus from West Virginia, who we saw was very good in that dual meet. He lost to Dayton Fix by a point, who bumped up to wrestle him. He lost a controversial takedown match to Vince Cornella from Cornell. It's going to be a really tight one score match, I think.
Yeah, I think it'll be extremely tight, but I also like what Etchemendia has been showing, especially in his last duel. I mean, look, he got beat by, what was his name again? I got to remember.
Happel beat him at CKLV, and then
9-3
back. Yeah.
9-3. And all of a sudden, Etchemendia went and took that and used it as a fire to the, or fuel to the fire.
Yeah.
And he's been looking excellent ever since. And I really, really want to see how Etchmandia ends the season, because I think he's on a hot streak right now.
Yeah, I think it'll be really good to see. Josh Edmond, he lost to Jarrett Dagan. So Josh Edmond redshirted last season. The season before, he was a national qualifier up at 149. Had a couple of really fun matches with Jarrett Dagan. I think the last time they wrestled, it was like 15, 13, something like that. Just a ridiculous score, especially with the old scoring rules with only the two-point takedown. Just really, he can score if the other guy brings the action, but a lot of his matches this season have ended up in that, you know, 4-1, 3-2 type of range against the high quality guys. He's able to slow them down for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. But let's talk about a man who is on a hot streak and I believe will continue this hot streak.
Casey Swiderski, 149.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man. Casey Swiderski, not sure who he's going to wrestle. Logan Joffrey is the starter there for Missouri, but who's got a 5-5 record. So you look at the 5-5 record and you're like, ah, you know, not that good. But all of his five losses are to guys in the top 10. So there's a big discrepancy in the rankings there. Flo's got him up at number 10. Intermat's got him down at number 24. Either way, he got injured in that West Virginia dual meet at the end of January and has not wrestled since. So I don't know if we're going to see Joffrey. The next best guy for Missouri is Nathan Pulliam, who had a 11-point win over Wyoming's guy, who's going to be a national qualifier, but he got hurt at the Soldier Salute and hasn't wrestled since. So there's a trend here with these Missouri guys. They're pretty banged up. Joel Milan is actually the guy who's been getting the matches recently at 149 in the dual meets for the Tigers. And, you know, he's solid, but he's not Casey Swiderski good.
No, he's not. He's not that solid. No, I'm excited to see Casey. Man, let's just stop for a moment and give a testament to Casey Swiderski. Do you remember last year how Casey Swiderski was just having such a rough patch and we didn't know what he was going to turn out to be, yeah, or, you know, even make it into the NCAAs. And I mean, look at him now. He's ranked number 6th in the nation by both sites. And he's done fantastic job, not only just with his confidence, but his actual moves. You can actually see that he's been putting in work and, it's been showing so much on the mat. So really proud of that young man.
Yeah, he's super fun to watch. I definitely look forward to 149 in every dual meet there. Casey Swiderski still has just 2 losses on the season, both at the CKLV. So he's sitting real good heading into the end of the season here. 157, this is going to be phenomenal. Great lead into that main event. Cody Chittum, ranked number 10 by Flo, 14 by Intermat, taking on Brock Mahler, who's number 12 by Flo and number 11 by Intermat. Brock Mahler is a 3-time All-American, down at 149 for every year of his career except this season. Last year, beat Pinero Johnson in the dual meet in overtime and then ended up losing in overtime. Yeah, I believe it's overtime in the Big 12 finals on the big stage. Just a great, great match in both of those matches. And man, you just got to be excited about this one. It's such a toss up, in my opinion.
It is such a toss up. And how would you describe Brock Mahler's style of wrestling versus Cody Chittum's? And I think this is going to be the most unique battle out of all.
Yeah, Mahler, very good defensively. You know, up at the new weight class this year, he was showing more offense early in the season. That slowed down a bit, but he's one of those guys, you know, he's going to shoot if there's 10 seconds or less in a period. He loves to attack and try to catch you just waiting out the end of the period. And he scores a lot of takedowns that way.
Yes. But then you got Cody Chittum, who's an, I would say, an offensive / scrambling group guru.
Yeah.
And one thing that I noticed about Brock Mahler is he's actually a good scrambler, but I don't know if he can if he can scramble like what Cody Chittum can scramble. I know Pinero Johnson was explosive, but Pinero is a very straightforward type of wrestler. Yep. Like if that happens right there and it's an explosive hit, and if not, we'll wait it out and go until stalemate or end of the period, where Cody Chittum will throw something in the fire and say, okay, well, I'm going to do this and see how you react. And I don't know how Brock Mahler is going to react to that, because Cody Chittum is such a different type of wrestling, that West Coast style. And that'll be really interesting to see those two different types of wrestling styles clash.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. Pinero Johnson, who actually I looked it up, he kind of whooped Brock Mahler in that Big 12 final, which was fun to watch now that I remember it. But Pinero Johnson loves to finish clean and finish quick. And Cody Chittum, on his attacks, he's not afraid to, you know, get 3 to 4 to 8 moves deep into the sequence before he gets to the position where he wants and ends up putting points on the board. So he's comfortable in a lot of places where you would look at the situation and not think that he's comfortable.
Yeah, and that's the awesome part about him, is like, even if he's in a bad position, it's not really that bad for him. And yes, you know, last week, or not last week, but at the UNI duel, he did get tilt
took a loss,
put on,
yeah,
him. But in reality, I something in that match changed that wasn't Cody Chittum that we've seen all year. I expect Cody Chittum to come out with fire underneath his butt, and same thing with Brock Mahler. I really do like his wrestling style too. So it'll be really cool to see this matchup.
Yeah. Yeah. And that leads us into our main event, David Carr, national champion 2022, taking on Keegan O'Toole, national champion. Or Carr won it way back in 21. Keegan O'Toole won it in 22 and 23. And David Carr won two of their three matchups last year, just did not win the big one at the end of the year on ESPN.
You know that David Carr has been circling this and figuring out what Keegan O'Toole has been doing good at. But I can say that on the other end, Keegan O'Toole has David Carr's number. But this is going to be such a great battle.
It's so hard for me to predict. I think a lot of people saw that national finals match, and which O'Toole won decisively, and just kind of assume it's going to go that way. But David Carr won that match just as decisively the first time they met, and the second time they met, which was in the Big 12 finals, it went to overtime. So,
and David Carr pinned him.
Yeah. Yeah, he did. So it's, I don't know. It's a whole new season. David Carr has a loss this year to Julian Ramirez, so I feel like he's also getting overlooked there. But it's got my mind in a blender here, because David Carr's never lost in Hillen, never lost in a dual meet. And I don't know, a lot of people talking about which two of the three matchups would you want to win. It's like, I don't think that's such, it's, you know, because it happened last year, of course, people are going to think like, yeah, you just want to win the national title. And then, you know, the decision is, would you rather win a Big 12 title or win in your last dual meet in Hillen? But I think, you know, this is all about winning the next match, not about winning, you know, two out of three.
And let's kind of talk about how David's bracket was when he, in 2023, when he was going through all this, all the people, compared to what Keegan O'Toole was going through. I mean, he had a killer of a bracket going through just to get to the finals, where Keegan was kind of coasting. I'm not knocking Keegan O'Toole's title, because that's a hard enough thing to do.
Yeah. But I think, that's something else that I had forgotten about, but now looking back, it's like David Carr got the one seed and his reward was national champion Shane Griffith in the quarters and national runner up Quincy Monday in the semis. Whereas Keegan O'Toole had, Carson Hartschler in the quarters, who was not an All-American last year. And then he had Kim Amin in the semis, who's a very good wrestler, you know, a three-time All-American, but he's not on the level of Shane Griffith or Quincy Monday.
Yeah, that's what kind of, and by the time you got to the finals, you could tell David was starting to get tired. I don't know if a lot of people will agree with that, but I could. I mean, that's a grueling task to say, hey, here's a previous national champion and here's a national runner up. And then after that, we're going to get another national champion, where then on the other side of the bracket, you go, okay, well, here's some wrestlers. They're decent, but they're not the quality of what, you know, all these other guys are. That's where I stand at. And that's where I kind of get what David was feeling, because he was just, I think he was just dog tired after that. And Keegan was ready to go for another round. So like you said, this is unpredictable, because a lot of people saw that first, or that last year's NCAA finals, and assume that Keegan O'Toole has David Carr's number, but I don't really think so. Because the way Keegan O'Toole was shooting in on his attacks, you would know that David Carr would be able to defend most of those. And he wasn't able to do it as well as he used to be, or he wasn't earlier that year. So, and having the loss to Ramirez, I think he's got like all his hiccups out, because he always seems to lose one match somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think the other thing with this is, as if the national titles didn't put it in perspective enough, this is Keegan O'Toole, who is the number 2 pound for pound wrestler in the country, taking on David Carr, who's the number 4 pound for pound wrestler in the country. So it's good. It's as good as it gets as far as matchups go. You never have two guys both in the top 5 pound for pound in the same weight class. It's so rare in this sport.
Yeah, and especially, and Keegan has been doing excellent this year. I mean, heck, what was it, a couple weeks ago he was going against, wasn't it Ramirez?
Yeah, he was actually down, gave up 2 takedowns, I think, to Ramirez, and ended up majoring him.
Yeah.
Same weekend, he had a nice win over Peyton Hall. He bumped up to 174 and beat Edmund Ruth, who is a top 10 guy at that weight class. He's, you know, he beat Isaac Olenek 5-1, who David Carr beat like 7-2 or something like that. Just really solid performances, pretty flawless throughout the whole season.
Yeah. So this is, there's no, this is such a swing match that it's anyone's game at this point. And it'll be exciting, because this is the prelims to the prelims to the final event, because you know, just as well as I do, that those two are probably going to be in the finals.
Yeah, I sure hope so. It's once again a very tough weight class this year, but I think everybody's hoping to see this 3 times, unless you've got one of your guys trying to knock one of them off. And it's going to be really fun to watch how each wrestler adjusts, you know, between all 3 of the matches, just like we got to see last year. So at the end of the day, Iowa State going to be pretty heavily favored at 133, 149, and 280. I think 285, I would consider them a favorite, even though they're both undefeated top 5 wrestlers. I think Younger Bastida just has made that much of an impact at his new weight class this season. Missouri is going to be favored at 125, 174, and 197. And that leaves 4 swing matches in this dual meet. So you want to win the bonus point battle in those matches that you're favored in. And B, you want to win, at least split the swing matches, if not steal 3 out of 4 there. And those swing matches, 141, 157, 165, and 184. I've got Iowa State winning 6 matches to 4 and taking this dual meet 20-16.
And I'm 6-4, but I'm doing 20-17. I just think that it's going to be anyone's battle at this point. So you're just hoping that Iowa State crowd gets into it and affects the Missouri wrestlers, and we can pull out a good win.
Yeah, Absolutely. So this is going down Sunday, Hilton Coliseum, last home dual meet for David Carr. Not sure where tickets are at right now, but I'm sure it'll be a great crowd. If you can't get there, ESPN Plus is the place to go. One other thing before we get out of here, Jacob. Last night, Iowa State picked up a great verbal commitment from Christian Castillo out of Arizona. He's a class of 2025 recruit, so he'll have one more year before he gets to campus. But he's number 10 in the pound-for-pound overall rankings and is probably going to be a career 125. So that's super exciting news for the future of Iowa State lightweights.
Yes, absolutely. I think that Dresser is really good at addressing the needs and wants for our pounds. Yeah. Sorry, I'm just having a brain fart at the moment. But he's really good at getting the depth chart, getting things filled in, like Will Feldkamp and getting Anthony Etchemendia, and trying to make sure that we are on a steady high rise. And getting this young man is going to be awesome, fantastic. That's our, if Ethan Perryman isn't what, you know, he comes out to be, this Christian can be able to step in. I believe that it will be really nice, or he can hit the 133, and next year is going to be freaking wild.
Yeah. Christian Castillo, the fourth best recruit in Iowa State history, or not Iowa State history, in the Dresser era. The recruits above him, David Carr, has turned out nice. Casey Swiderski shaping up to be a pretty good pickup. Cody Chittum, you know, I think it's just his true freshman season, but he's made noise already. And then you've got Christian Castillo there, and the fact that he could potentially wrestle 125 all 4 years. Those guys are hard to come by, super valuable. Everybody in the country is looking for a good 125. Just look at the weight class nationally this year. No, it's, you know, completely up for grabs still. So to have a guy that could, if he turns out to be everything, you know, stays on the same trajectory, then he's someone who would be there to seize that weight class.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I'm just kind of looking at what he's been doing, and that man is on a terror mission. Have you seen this?
Castillo?
Yeah.
No, I haven't.
Go take a look at international and high school and everything like that. He's on a freaking tear.
Yeah. Yeah. So, ranked in the top 10 pound for pound in the country for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly a great pickup for the Cyclones. If you're just itching to see some wrestling action this week in Missouri's wrestling you and I on Friday, so that should give you a little preview of who they have available and what to expect out of the Tigers there. That one's Friday night at 7 on Flow, up in Cedar Falls, or at the McLeod Center if you're in the area. But the big one on Sunday, you're going to want to tune in if you can't get to Hilton Coliseum, 2 p.m. Iowa State, number 5 in the country, taking on the number 7 Missouri Tigers for the telephone trophy duel. And with that, Jacob, thanks to our listeners. This has been another episode of the Sudden Victory Podcast presented by Wide Right and Natty Light.
Go Cyclones.